Praise the Lord. I got something here. Easter. Easter season. Contrary to popular opinion, Easter is not a Christian celebration. So I'm going to pray first. Father, we thank you for everything that you've allowed us to experience today. How wonderful you are, Lord, to bless us with these beautiful children to come and share and to sing your praises and to speak your word and poetry. How blessed we are to have members that come. And Lord, they have come out of their shell, many, and they're beginning to share and glorify you and lift you up. How wonderful it is, Lord, to see this happening in our midst. So now, Lord, as we look into your word, I pray that you will touch us and help us. Place your words of grace in my mouth so that these words will be a blessing to those that hear. And Father, we thank you for what you did through your son, Jesus, to cause us to be where we are today. Thank you for who you are and who he is. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, I said it. Easter in its origin is not a Christian celebration. The original Easter is a pagan holiday. It comes in a similar part of the year as our regular Easter does, and a similar part of the year as the Jewish Passover comes. But what we really celebrate, and I don't know that we'll ever get this word to stick worldwide, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If we said it properly, this would be Resurrection Day, Sunday. This is the day. And as far as the Sabbath goes, the Sabbath is every day because Jesus Christ is our Sabbath. And so the Jews, they typify the Sabbath by having a special day of rest and special Sabbath celebrations, but it was simply types of what was to come. And that substance which was to come was a person, and he came, and his name is Jesus. And he became the Sabbath, and he is our rest. He said, "In me ye shall have peace and rest." Because this word Easter appears in the book of Acts in Acts 12:4, somehow Christians take it and say, "Oh yes, it's a biblical thing." But it's there in reference to what old evil Herod planned to do against God's man, Peter. He didn't want to do it before this Easter celebration. He was going to wait till after Easter. And so folks took it and say, it's in the Bible. It must be biblical. The correct word, again, is Passover. And the Greek word there is Pascha. Pascha. It's a Pascha. And it alludes to the Paschal Lamb. And they also typified the Passover with the slaying of lambs. In its Chaldean origin from the East, the Passover is a meal. The Passover is a particular day. It is a festival. Or it also is characterized by special sacrifices. These things are connected to it. Pascha is also translated, believe it or not, as Easter. Pascha. Etymologically, I don't know why I put that word in there. I should say something like the way words go. Yeah, we can't say it, though. It comes from an Anglo-Saxon that's taken from the English dictionary. And the word in that old dictionary that is estre, E-S-E-A-S-T-R-E, for Pascha, and it's divided from the East. It means to shine or to dawn or to spring forth. It's an excellent designation for the resurrection of Jesus Christ because he sprung forth, he shined forth. So there is a word in another language that means estre or Easter. But we've got unfortunately, the pagans also had a holiday that corresponded with the name Easter. they had another holiday that corresponded with that name, Easter. And Pascha is the same word that Jesus used in Matthew 13, 1 and 2. And this is what it says in Matthew 13, 1 and 2. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days, the feast of Passover, or Pascha, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. It's the feast of Passover, the feast of the Paschal Lamb. Now, if you know anything about how this went, the person would have to come in this particular season. They would bring their particular sacrifice. They would hand the sacrifice to the priest. The priest would slay the sacrifice, sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice on the instruments of the temple, and then they turn and hand that sacrifice back to the people, and they were to take that and eat it with their family members. That's how that went. It's almost like a communion. But it's the Feast of the Passover. And this was like a 24-hour endeavor. I mean, they were slaying and sprinkling, and because the folks came from all over. Some seasons, there were millions of people that came to celebrate from all over the place. And so it was a bloody time, very bloody time. But it was an expected time. They expected this. They were typifying, believe it or not, all of this, they were typifying Jesus, which is so phenomenal. They went year after year after year, the year Pascha, or the Passover. That's what it's called, the Passover. Now, the pagan corruption appears as a day called Ishtar. Ishtar. It was a day that commemorated the supposed resurrection of one of the gods called Tammuz. I kind of touched upon that yesterday. Tammuz, who was believed to be the only begotten son of the moon goddess and the sun god. And so the designations are so close that it looks so much like the Easter, what we talk about today. Surprisingly, this fable has origins, believe it or not, the origins of the fable do appear in the Bible. It has biblical origins of sorts. And so if you kind of do your math or research, you find that, wow, it's in and out of the scriptures. And no wonder, if a person doesn't read his word and do his research, he'll accept all of these different forms and say, this is how it's supposed to go. Now, this that I'm going to share with you right quickly is a story. It's a sordid story of lust, of incest, lies, and hypocrisy. I'm going to briefly highlight just a few names and incidents to give you a flavor of where this all started. Noah was the man of the flood. He was the man that saved two of each. We know Noah. Little kids can tell you the story of Noah. Unsaved people can tell you the story of Noah. He's a very popular man. So we start with Noah. Ham was Noah's son. He was one of his three sons. Cush was the son of Ham. Cush married a woman by the name of Semiramis. Semiramis, this lady. This is now she starts it. You remember the story of Nimrod? Nimrod. He was born to Cush and Semiramis. So Nimrod was a great-great-grandson of Noah. It's in the family line. Now, this is when it starts getting a little sordid. When Cush died, Nimrod married his mother, Semiramis. He married his mother. That's tad sordid there. Nimrod got killed by an enemy, and he was cut into little pieces and sent all throughout the country. Semiramis claims to have gathered every piece that it was cut into except one piece, the reproductive organ. That's what she tells the people. She didn't get to gain those back. She claimed to have gathered that in every piece. She claimed that Nimrod was to be the sun god, and they were to call him Baal. Baal shows up in the Old Testament. It comes from a fable created by this woman, Semiramis. And the people should call him Baal. So Baal starts. Remember Elijah with the prophets of Baal? And they all got killed up there because they came against the man of God. They come from this particular tradition. Semiramis, the same woman, she wound up pregnant. But she told everyone that it was that the child's hammers belonged to the sun god, Nimrod. So she had already set the story up and said, well, Nimrod is the sun god. Now he's Baal. She gets pregnant, and she say, now, to the people, this child belongs to the sun god. She didn't want to tell the truth that she'd been sleeping around. Amen now. Come on. She didn't want to tell the truth. She wanted to stay, have a little pureness in the face of the people. They might have started rejecting her if she said, well, it's a Janel's child. They would go, we don't need to hear anything from her anymore. But instead, she made it a very religious thing and said, this child was born of the sun god. Of course, you know, the Greek. So some kind of way she got that fixed up. And they accepted Tammuz as the son of the sun god. So then this woman, Semiramis, became known as Ishtar, pronounced Easter. Ishtar, pronounced Easter. Now, Tammuz was the supposed son of a hunter who was Nimrod. He was the supposed son of a hunter, and so he became a hunter. But he went hunting and got killed by a wild hog. Not much of a hunter. I mean, I'm not a hunter, but I know to get out the way of a wild hog. Them things will eat you up, man. It seems like it. So he got killed. So this is what Semiramis does with this. She is now called Queen Ishtar. And she told the people that Tammuz was now ascended to his father Baal. And that the two of them would be with the worshippers in this sacred candle or lamp of flame, and they are to be called the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. That's what she said. They're to be called the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. So now, not only that, but Semiramis proclaimed a 40-day period, a time of sorrow, each year prior to the anniversary of the death of this son, Tammuz. We've got 40 days of Lent that we recognize every year. Some churches do. It came from this. And we just celebrated and worshiped in it, and I'm just not going to eat any more meat for 40 days. Well, if you're not going to eat meat, just don't eat meat. You know. But the Bible tells you how to live. And I still haven't found anything about 40 days of Lent in the scriptures. So I say, okay, that's fine. Y'all do what you want. I'm not going to bother with it. I'm going to still eat my meat. I'm going to still use my sweets. And glorify God when I do it. Like my sister say, blessed eat. Amen. But she proclaimed 40 days each year for that. And that the worshipers were to meditate upon the sacred mysteries of Baal and Tammuz and to make the sign of a T. Sign of a T in front of their hearts. As they worship. Mm-hmm. So we're beginning to see where this thing was perpetrated into the Christian world. Around 300 BC, the church of the Book of Acts disappears. If you look, the church of the Book of Acts goes so far, and it's almost like it disappears, and you don't see it in the scripture, but the Catholic Church shows up. It's like, now hold on. That doesn't look anything at all like the baptism of the Holy Ghost that we want. Well, anyway, let's. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want my words to be words of grace. Hallelujah. Every year, 40 days. Every year, on the first Sunday, after the first full moon, after the spring equinox, a celebration was made. It was Ishtar's Sunday and was celebrated with rabbits and eggs. Yeah. You know where the rabbits came from? They came from Tammuz's fondness of rabbits. He was fond of rabbits. You know where the eggs come from? Semiramis told the people, well, actually I came from the moon. And I came down in the form of a large moon egg and landed in the Nile River. They took it. He hook, line, and sinker. They believed in her. And so there goes your eggs. So there are your rabbits and there are your eggs in the Easter celebration. That's why folks struggle with this rabbit and egg thing. It's like, there were no rabbit at the tomb of Jesus. There were no eggs. There were soldiers guarding the tomb. There were angels opening the tomb up and sitting in the tomb with Jesus. There was Peter and John who come running to see Jesus, but no rabbits and no eggs. That's our Easter celebration. It's pagan. But now you can't rob the kids now of the wonderful, beautiful colored eggs and beautiful, wonderful, sweet Easter candy and all of this and the bunny shaped marshmallows that they get. You can't rob them of that, could you? I mean, you could do that, but what a dull time that would be. But our obligation is to explain to them what the resurrection is about. And parents, if you go to church, if you don't go to church, learn the story of the resurrection. Learn the story of Christmas. Because during those special times, your children need to be instructed. I ain't saying you got to be walking holiness and pay your tithes and do all this. Just learn the story. You got a Bible, you read about the story of Easter, of the resurrection. You read about the story of Christmas so you can teach your children the truth about these two major celebrations. Because Christmas has got a whole bunch of stuff in there, too, that has nothing to do with the birth of Jesus.